in a guru-disciple relationship, who has the power? When someone insults you and you react, who has the power? I mean, who is your energy? I don't imply that they can use that energy for themselves. I don't imply that they can use that energy for anything. Yet, you don't have it. You gave it away. What power am I talking about? What energy am I talking about? And most importantly, what the heck do I mean when I talk about power? Let's state it, so we mean the same thing. Power is the speed with which you get something to happen. Horsepower if it's a machine. Getting an assignment done. For example. It's important to agree what we mean by a word. Okay. Let's get to it now, okay? You see, at every moment you have control, if you haven't yet given it away, over where your attention goes. How you interpret what's in front of you, what you say about what's happening. You have little or no control over what's happening, but the interpretation is fully yours. That power is given to you by the nature of reality. It is built in every living thing. The power to interpret what's happening. For the most part, interpreting what is done by the other than conscious part of you. Just because the below conscious can react faster than having to think it through every time. Your conscious mind would take too long to analyze the situation. And while you are thinking, whatever is happening can kill you or hurt you. Unfortunately, every single decision making is happening in the subconscious. And, as we found out, we have no access to change decisions in the subconscious, though we can, on a case-to-case basis, override that old decision. We have no access to change decisions in the subconscious, though we can, on a case-to-case basis, override that old decision. When someone smiles, we smile back. Click and whir. When people look up, we go and look what they are looking at. If someone makes a movement to hit us, we hold our arms up to protect our face. If someone insults us, we do what we've always done, attack, cower, sear, fume, pout, complain. An excellent book, Persuasion, by a psychology professor, Robert Cialdini, has great examples of this. Very entertaining book, though it offers no counter-medicine. Truth value of the book is 20%. So, it seems, that we don't have control over what the reaction to what's happening our subconscious will have. But, we have control over the occurrence. Pay attention, I didn't say we have control over what happens. I said occurrence. Occurrence is a two-part phenomenon, it includes the what happens and it includes our interpretation of it. Example. Somebody says something. That is the what happens. It's a judgment, that is the interpretation. You are judging me, that's the occurrence. If you could change your interpretation, the occurrence would change. It would be when someone says something, but you would take the edge off. And voila, it becomes not insulting. You can call what is said uneducated, narrow-minded, an opinion, or stupid, or silly, or ridiculous. And with the interpretation, the words, the occurrence changes depending on what you called it, the interpretation. This changing what you say about it is even useful after the incident. Even decades after the incident. Because we carry around the after effects of incidents, thus still be possessed by them. If you could reinterpret what happened, you could free yourself up. You could take back your power. You could take back your energy, your attention. Take back your life. To use your power where it is going to serve you. Where it is going to get you what you want. In yesterday's What's Missing, I measured how much of the participants' energy was tied up with an occurrence that happened, say, 50 years ago. The numbers were above 90%. Minus 7%. They are left with 10% usable power, to make things happen. I was left with 93%. No wonder I am so productive compared to you. Why the difference? Am I better? Smarter? No. Neither. I have done a ton of work on finding different things to say in lieu of what I said then. In my case, more than 70 years ago. And every different thing I said gave back a little bit more of my power. What I said originally was all about me. Personal. Slighting. Hurtful. Then I managed to look at the person speaking. And that gave me back 50% of my power. And then I managed to widen my cone of vision, and see that on the evolutionary level of humanity, that other person was just like everyone else. Not able to care, not able to love, not able to give a flying fig about how I felt. And they didn't. That took my power back to about 90%. And the third step was, looking what it is that I felt was not given to me in that incident. Conspire to give it to myself, and give it generously. And since then I have been. This came from Hillel's sentence, if I am not for me, who is for me? So now I have my power almost all the time. And the times when I don't, and there are moments, I know how to get it back again. Instead of hoping that the world, family, friends, colleagues, the admiring public will give it to me, I give it to myself, unabashedly. Some call it bragging. I don't mind. If that is what it looks like to them, then I am fine with that. They probably will stay at little or no power with that attitude. Not my ideal client. Because all your ambition, all your dreams depend on this one thing, how much power you have to accomplish it. In yesterday's article I said, man plans, God laughs at him. But although it is true, the degree of that laughter differs depending on the man and his power. Or woman, if you want to split hairs. When I plan, God is hesitant to even chuckle. Because he or she knows that I will. Because I have reclaimed my power. Almost all of it. So obviously this is a crucial step in my promise to take you to the promised land, pleasure island, or whatever you want to call it. A life you love and live it powerfully. Returning to the original question. In a guru-disciple relationship you give all your power to the guru because you think that they know and you don't. In your altercations, in your arguments, in your interactions in life you give all your power to the other party. Either because you don't know any better, or because you know that with great power comes great responsibility, and it is easier to pretend that you are the victim than actually live the life of a powerful person. You know who you are. Now you can take your power back by spending just a little time to examine what is the interpretation in the occurrence that keeps you stuck. Let me give you an example of how to reclaim your power in a guru/disciple relationship. For 26 years I was participating in courses and programs given by Landmark Education. When I first started to participate, the company's name was Werner Erhard & Associates. Werner Erhard is the man who invented the YES Training, the controversial first self-actualization, transformational program that grew big. By the time I started, about 1 million people had participated in those YES programs. People called these people YES holes. At the time I started there was still another entry point, not just the forum like today. That program was the communication workshop. I took that in 1985, in Israel. I loved it. And I got great value out of it. It empowered me to immediately leave Israel and come to the US. And here I immediately threw myself into participation. I did every program I could afford. Every program I had time for. For the first 20 years I spent about 40 hours a week, every week, doing Landmark stuff. Coaching, being on the phone, assisting in courses, etc. I got no thank you for it. Ever. Because of my past history of depression, I had limits on in my participation. To preserve the company's good name I was not allowed to be in a public leadership position. My ambition to do my life's work through Landmark was not a viable path. I knew in my bones, from an early age, that I was meant to be instrumental in bringing about a better world, a world that works for everyone with no one left out. How did I know it? I knew that by noticing what inspired me, what I found moving, touching. What songs, what stories, what words. So I knew. Then I got offended, and stopped going to Landmark programs. I left in body, but I was still stuck there. In a hurt child's you did this to me way. I took a course here and there, but the hurt was still there. Hurt or not hurt, in 2009 I signed up to a course again. In the application form I ticked a box for I will be there for every session, but I lied. I didn't intend to be there for the Sunday night session, I had somewhere else to be. Then my conscience had problems with having lied. So I confessed to the course leader that I'd lied. That I had no intention to be there on Sunday. I felt guilty. I felt like an ungrateful child. Obviously, I was still on the hook. I was going to get punished. I felt fear. I felt powerless. At that point I had merely 10% of my power available to me. A new interpretation. Then I had a new thought, I am the customer. I paid to be in this course. And I can decide which parts of what I bought I want and which parts I don't. Can you imagine buying a dish set and only wanting to use part of it? But the seller would be on your case, you must use it all, or nothing? I can't. So I left at 5 p.m. on Sunday, and did what I'd planned to do with no guilt. Landmark called me. They told me things, but I just laughed. I am the customer and I use the product as I want to, legally, of course. You are the customer. You see. The guru-disciple relationship means to keep you feeling both grateful and guilty. It is built in a way that you never realize that you are the customer. Is it a school? You are a customer. Is it a marriage? You are a customer. Or maybe it is a coaching relationship? You are a customer. You decide how much you want to use of what you are given. And, listen up. This is important. You are willing to take the consequences. If going to classes is mandatory, you will take the consequence of getting expelled. If it is a marriage, you may get a divorce. And if it is a coaching relationship, you may be asked to leave. And such is life, you have agreements, and you either keep them, or you don't. But you can do either. Consciously, intentionally, fully aware of your rights as a customer. And fully aware of your agreements. And the consequences of not keeping them. All your choices have consequences. Some people balk at power. They call it "I have to." They want to wiggle out, slime out, avoid, hide, whatever their moves are. They need to realize that they don't have to. They agree to. You can always not do it and take the consequences. Or do. And take the different consequences. All your choices have consequences. My classes, my services, all look and sound to you like a normal guru/disciple relationship. You need to upgrade your concept from that to provider/customer and reclaim some of your power. Or a partnership if you are able to. And look at your agreements with me. Reread what I promise, and consider that when you buy something from me, you also need to do your part, or my promise is null and void. Every promise is conditional. You don't have to use my products. But if you don't, then don't expect the result. The promise and proper use of the product are connected. I have had a turning point of sorts recently. I have been offering the Big Bundle Energy for almost a decade. I introduced it as a bundle on my birthday in 2014. I didn't know what I had, because I had a deep automatic contempt for anything Indian. And the energy I asked Source to duplicate came from India. So I didn't quite trust it. But when I got into trouble, when my health got so low I needed life support, I turned to it. I wasn't strong enough to administer the energy directly, so I used the audio. Straight into my ear, overnight. Over time. And I recovered. Not once, not twice, but several times. It's been my secret weapon. I'd call it a miracle if I didn't know what was the source of it. I sold more than 100 copies of the audio. And in articles, on webinars I shared how it works, how long it needs to be used, everything a person needs to know to get the same miraculous results I had. And until just a few weeks ago no one did it. Or if anyone did it, they didn't bother to tell me. But then two of my students had recurring tumors, aggressive as hell. And I promised them that I'd do their healing if they were willing to co-create with me. Both started to sleep with the Big Bundle. And the tumors melted. Literally I could feel as they were melting. The healing time was cut less than half. And they are well now. And they did it. So if nothing changes, their tumors will come back, guaranteed. But now they have all the power. In their hands. A tiny few second long audio looped. And that is who I am. I am not a guru and you are not a disciple. We co-create if you are willing. Whether it is your health, or it is your sanity. In courses, in coaching. Even in my articles. You'll get what I give you, and you can more than double it by co-creating. By taking full responsibility that it is yours. That is how life works when it works. Because industry seems to be hellbent at annihilating humanity, be prepared to need something like the Big Bundle. And the liver cleanse. Just like in the gas chambers of Auschwitz, the most expeditious way to kill a large number of people is chemicals. Just leave it to the industrious Germans to find a way. So we are in the middle, or maybe the beginning of a large-scale extermination project and we are the target. Not a hyperbole. The truth. It's not an antitoxin. But at this point it is the best anyone can do, methinks. Foods that have never caused a problem suddenly turn toxic. This is what happened to me. I assume that the milk that never caused any problems is the same. It's from the same store. But suddenly it almost killed me. So now I sleep with the Big Bundle again. Until I find some milk that won't kill me, until they change it. That is. And then turn to almond milk? Oat milk? Make my own? We shall see. But for now I sleep with the Big Bundle. When you are in pain, when your guts or other organs seem to want to try to kill you, you need fast and effective methods to overcome what is causing your guts or other organs to attack you. I'll write more about what's going on in an upcoming article. But for now, get the Big Bundle. Learn how to use it. Get a comfortable earbud. Connected. So when you need the healing, when you need to save your life, you'll have it. I mean it. Otherwise, stupid as the stupid does. How could the Nazis gather and kill 6 million Jews? The Jews were trusting in some god, and didn't do what they could have done. Resist, hide, escape. So they were stupid. My family was stupid too. So I am like a black person who calls another one a nigga. Get the big bundle. You don't have permission to duplicate it, give it away, sell it, modify it. Karma is a bitch and it will find you. And kill you and your profits.